The last time I was here, we were speaking about being a mensch and how it's not written in any halacha. And if you ask, what halacha tells me to be a mensch? To be someone that is cordially, someone that gives trem, someone that says good morning, then it's indeed a very big problem. We're in the book on page 105, whoever has it in front of them. I know you're going to ask that.
I have a source.
105. And as we continue in this book, I wanted to, with your permission, go and add a dimension that we didn't say the last time we were together. If you recall the last time we were together, we said that sometimes being a mensch is more important than yirat shamayim, that a Jew constantly is adam yirei shamayim, a mensch, a human being, who is also God-fearing. But sometimes being a mensch is more important than God-fearing, because God will forgive you, and yet a mensch won't. And we gave the example of if someone says hello to you in the middle of Kriyat Shema, where you can answer him and say hello back. But if you hear Baruch Hu, or you have an opportunity to say Amen Yehi Shmei Rabba, you can't, according to the Rambam, because God will forgive you, quote-unquote. But a human being that says hello and you don't say hello back, unfortunately, the feelings hurt can be terrible. Now let's take that a step further. Is hurting someone's feelings more important sometimes than keeping halacha? Now we do have certain, I would say, hints in our literature that it is. For example, how many people here have heard the term "hamivazeh pnei chaveru barabim"? Whoever embarrasses someone publicly, ki'ilu shafach damim. It's as if he murdered him. And if you think about it, think how you felt if someone once embarrassed you in public. But it's ki'ilu. It's like. No one in their right mind would say, all right, let's put him up on trial for manslaughter.
There's another one that says the exact opposite. You should embarrass him repeatedly if he's doing something.
I know no such gemara. We're talking about tochecha, but that's not embarrassing him. Quite the contrary. The Rambam, when he talks about tochecha, he says that you have to go up to him privately. A. B. You have to say, I'm telling you this because I care about you. Not, God forbid, scream and yell and shout. Like was done recently in Israel in a certain intermarriage case, which I thought was just preposterous. I mean, intermarriage is preposterous, and especially in Israel, and it's terrible, and it's going ahead and ruining the Jewish people. But on the other hand, the way they dealt with it was also, in my opinion, without much seichel. In any case, going back to this, we also have other such hints. For example, how many people here have heard the term "na tamivazeh pnei chaveru barabim" or "malbin pnei chaveru barabim," embarrassing someone publicly? But the term "kvod abriot," "kvod abriot." For example, if you're in a department store and you happen to find out that that moment that you're wearing shatness, you immediately take it off and run out with your underwear. "Kvod abriot." There's a certain element of being a respectful and not embarrassing even yourself in front of other people. And if you recall, once, even around this table, we spoke about wearing your talis in public in Chutz La'aretz. But my question today is, that's two examples of ki'ilus. As if you murdered him, whatever. What happens when it's not as if? Like the shatnas case. What happens when it's real? What I'm speaking today about is being neighborly. There is a Mishnah in Demai, we're on page 105 on the top. A Mishnah in Demai that says as follows, thank you for the cup of water. In the English version, it's in the chapter on being a mensch. In the chapter on being a mensch. Hey, give me the book a second. We'll just take a 30-second commercial break. Someone say a good joke and I'll find it.
So Debbie's grandfather, many years ago, came to us for Pesach.
I meant.
And Pesach starts, you know, to sundown. He was in his 90s.
What a joke.
And he, of course, wanted us to start at what he did a reasonable time, you know, 6:30. And I explained that we can't do that. Pesach
right.
Is distributed after sundown.
Uh-huh.
And he was so upset, and the family felt that I had. Here's the patriarch of the family. And by.
Page 136, 137,
by
waiting
until he's not comfortable. I was not coveted of him. Or his needs. And, I insisted on halacha of having Seder start and winding down, which meant he really couldn't participate. And that's an example of why they don't like to be.
No, I think that's a very good example of trying to take two values that clash. The value of making your guest comfortable, the added value of making the patriarch of the family comfortable. It could very well be that there's a mitzvah of kibud av va'em, that goes far and beyond your own father, but it can go to grandfathers as well. Could be. It's a machloket between the Maharik and the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch, though we have no sources explicitly for it in the Gemara. It is a machloket between the Ramah and the Maharik. On the other hand, you can't start the Seder early. What do you do in that case? My advice was to consult the rabbi, first of all, and see if there's a solution of starting a Seder early.
You have to start on time to go to the matzah, it'll go stale.
Also, number two, there's ways of making your Seder such that you can start your Seder early, quote unquote, and yet do the mitzvot of the evening when it's already nightfall. So therefore, there's ways to deal with it. It happens to be a very common question today in places like, you mentioned when you were in Oslo, Yossi, but in places where indeed, Tzeita Kochavim, nightfall is 9:30 at night, 10 o'clock at night, how do you deal with it? It's very difficult. So therefore, we do have solutions that we can offer in such situations where there's values that clash. So let's see one example today. The Mishnah says, a guy went ahead and said a neder. I vow that I will not eat with you and I won't have any enjoyment from anything you own. Right? Excuse me. Opposite. A guy vowed, Al yedei shenadar she'im lo yochal etzlo, lo yochol lehenot minechasav, that if I don't eat by you, I won't have any enjoyment from anything that you have. However, this gentleman doesn't somech on this person's kashrus. He doesn't know if he takes trumos and masros from his food. So what do you do? Says the Mishnah. Hamadir et chaviro she'yochal etzlo, someone made a neder and said, you have to eat by me. And he doesn't believe him that he keeps kosher from our perspective. Listen to this. Ochel imo b'shabbat harishona, ve'af al pish eino ma'amino al ha-masrot, ubilvat sheyomar lo musarin hein. U'b'shabbat ha-shniya, af al pish enadar imenu hanaya, lo yochal ad she'yaser. So the halacha is like this. We're talking about an issa d'rabbanan, first of all, not an issa d'oraisa, a rabbinic prohibition of demai. Namely, I'm not sure that he doesn't keep kosher, but I have reason to believe that he doesn't. And the guy said, I want you to eat by me. Even made a vow. What do you do? Says the first Shabbos, eat by him if he says he keeps kosher. The second week already, you have to check. I think that's an ingenious Mishnah. Yes?
I know that any time you do make a vow, it's that it has to conform with the law.
This case, it does conform with halacha, you're right. In a case where you vow something that's against the halacha, it doesn't chal, but here it's not, because it could be he's keeping kosher on a biblical level. It's just on a rabbinic level that maybe not. And again, it's a maybe here. He doesn't believe him. He has reason to believe that he doesn't keep kosher. Says the Rambam. How does he explain this Mishnah? Why does the Mishnah make him eat by him on the first week? Beautiful words of the Rambam. To strengthen the commonality between people and to distance the grudges and the enmity between people. I love those words. Lechazek hachevra ulaharchik ahava shetipol b'nehem im lo yochalimo. Afal piken and amashay lechol machi aser. In other words, eating demai, which is a rabbinic prohibition perhaps, is in order to strengthen the neighborly feelings between people. Now, of course, this is not the only value in the Torah. It's not like, oh, being neighborly trumps it all. No, just like the example of the Seder. There's other values. So the first Shabbos when he invites you over, okay. But the second week already, when you know each other and you already have some sort of a relationship, you can explain, listen, I have certain dietary needs, religious needs. Do you keep it? Yes, no, maybe.
You changed it last week.
Well, I was going to say, it sounds like if you would have done this without the vow, all the more so would have been a nice thing. The fact that he's vowed sounds like he feels locked into his vow. And that's why he's...
Otherwise he would have done it.
Otherwise he would have done it.
I don't understand what you just said.
Because he took a vow to eat with this person, he feels that, well, you know, he took a vow, so he's going to eat with a guy. Thankfully, the Rambam writes, you know what?
It's okay.
It's okay. The first week, because there's some benefits to everyone, that's why I said tonight. But the second week, maybe not. it sounds like if you wouldn't have taken the vow to eat with them, because you could still use that same rule. You know, eat with them for a week. Forget your vow. It's a nice thing for those reasons. Push away distance, bring in friendship. You don't need a vow to have that those good midot.
Again, the vow here happens to be adding a certain element here.
That seems to be the card.
No, like that's not the...
So he feels locked into his vow.
Amadir et chaveru sheyochal etzlo. Vuino mamino lamas wrote means that it's just an added dimension to the case. It's like saying eating chazir on Yom Kippur. But obviously, even in a case where a regular gentleman came up to you and said, eat by me, and you're not so sure, the vow obviously makes it harder to say no. But says the halacha here, and this is what I wanted to bring out, that you see an example where the halacha sees values at clash. Keeping kosher is very important, even on a rabbinic level. But on the other hand, having a neighborly, normal feeling with your neighbors is very important. What do you do? And you see what the Mishnah says. Because it's a rabbinic prohibition, not biblical, we have limits, but we have to put it into perspective. Remember that word perspective, we'll come back to it many times. First week, yes, and then you'll eat by him, and then you'll start talking to him, you'll get to know him, he'll get to know you. By the second week, think about it. When you ask him a question, he won't be offended. Because you got to know him. You have a relationship with him.
What happened the second week when you decided not to continue eating?
The second week already, you have to keep even the rabbinic prohibitions of Demai, and that would dictate to ask him, do you take Trumas and Masros? If so, how? And have a true knowledge of how he keeps kosher.
But even if he doesn't, you can even decide in your own place. You can take your own. It's not up to him.
Not necessarily. Not necessarily. Not necessarily, and not necessarily on Shabbos. First of all, you can put it aside, but you're basically going ahead and making your neighbor lose his own food, because it's not yours. So if you eat it, he's very happy, but if you just put it in the garbage, why are you taking good food and putting it in the garbage? Oh, I'm doing you a favor. What favor are you doing? It may not be on Shabbos.
Right.
But the Shabbat Shniyah here in Shabbat Bishonah means first week, second week, I believe. It doesn't necessarily mean Shabbos in this Mishnah. In any case, we see another example. We mentioned Kriyat Shema last week, where again, a feeling of Derech Eretz, of being neighborly, is so important that sometimes it trumps what we would call rabbinic rules of kashrus. And I think you have to remember that life is full of these values at clash, and being a mensch is a value in halacha. It's not just something that we say, when you keep halacha and you have time left over, be a mensch. So after you put on tefillin, and after you daven, you can be a mensch. No. Just like we said that when you go to shul in the morning and you should first say hello to God before you say hello to anyone else, the halacha dictates that there's certain ways to say hello where you don't say the word shalom before davening. Whoever learned those halachas knows what I'm talking about. So too, we see here how the halacha is concerned with being a mensch. The halacha is concerned that you have normative, cordial feelings with your neighbors around you. Not just your friend that said hello to you in davening, but your neighbors around you. So if on the last time we met, we spoke about individuals, today we're talking about the community at large. It's important and vital that you have these feelings with others. And it's a value in halacha to the extent that sometimes it even trumps kashrus. Going a step further, we spoke about two examples of halacha greda, namely true halacha. What happens when it comes to chumras? What would you say? Chumras derech eretz. What trumps what? You probably say derech eretz. So going down to page, the bottom of the page, Rav Amital here quotes the Ramchal and Mesilas Yesharim. By the way, Mesilas Yesharim is one of the books that I would demand that kids read when they're young, and I would even say teenagers should read it even more. It talks about true, beautiful midot that a Jew should have, and a person should know that book very, very well. For example, in Mesilas Yesharim, he says something very interesting. He says, one who loses his temper is a kasan. I'm not even going to say what he says about him. Let's just say it's worse than in Chazir on Yom Kippur. So, Mesilat Yesharim, I think, should be required reading. In the 20th chapter, it says, V'kama chasidim gdolim hinichu miminhak chasidutam b'iyotam ben hamon ha'am mishum demechse ki yehora. So, if you recall, last year we went through the laws of Chumras in our series called Being Normal. I won't go over it again. It's all archived. But one of the things we said is that you have to be very, very careful not to be mechsi ke yehora. What's mechsi ke yehora? Looking haughty. What does it say in the English translation? Bolded letters. Next page. Many men of great piety abandoned their pious practices when they were amongst the common masses, so not to appear boastful. I didn't know that was any word in English. Boastful. Namely, I'm sorry. Boastful means that when you're in public and you start doing things that no one else does, then you look like you're showing off. You look like you're showing off. So for example, you're in a Sephardic shul. This is, by the way, normative halacha. If people don't keep it. Normative halacha is that when you're in a place that has a different minhag than you, you have to keep that minhag when you're in public. So case scenario, if you're in Chutz La'aretz, huh? Pardon?
When
you're in Rome, do like the Romans, at least publicly. All poskim agree. So if you're in Chutz La'aretz on Yontif Sheni, on the second day Yontif, you're not publicly allowed to look different. That means externally, you wear your Yontif clothing, you should probably come to shul like everyone else. What you do privately in your own davening maybe is your own business. But the whole idea of the baseball cap and whatnot, I think, is narishkeit. Real narishkeit. In any case, in Israel, or the more so. The opposite case. So, that's normative halacha. So if you're in a Sephardic shul, and the Sephardim don't stand up for Kaddish, and you're the only one that stands up, that's against halacha. Because the Gemara says explicitly, you don't go ahead and get changed. So you sit down like everyone else. That's normative halacha. Here we're talking about something else. Here we're talking about where everyone does what the halacha demands, and you go above and beyond it, and you make a spectacle of yourself. In other words, you do something that nobody else does, and you make a spectacle of yourself by doing it. What do I mean? Give you an example. Sukkot is coming up. The Gemara records that Anshe Yerushalayim, the people of Yerushalayim, would go everywhere with the lulav and esrog. I can explain it halachically why they did it and only in Yerushalayim. But if you decide on the first day of Yontif, here in Efrat, that you're going to walk around the entire day with your lulav and esrog, you're going to take a spatzir, a good walk with your wife in the afternoon of Sukkot with your lulav and esrog. You're going to sit in your sukkah and guests are going to come in and wish you a good Yontif, and you're going to hold your lulav and esrog in your hand. That's a beautiful midas chasidus, but you're making a spectacle of yourself. You're making a fool out of yourself. Even though it's a good midat chasidut, it's very, very nice, but you're making a spectacle of yourself. If you're in a Sephardic shul, and you like to follow the Maharam Rutenberg recorded in the Ramah to stand for laning, but no one's standing for laning, so once again, normative halacha would say, ayushanem b'knei machloket. And I would just add in that since that's a chumrah by Ashkenazim, it's not normative halacha, then doing it is exactly what we're saying. Everyone's sitting down, and this guy, why is he standing up? What is he, the Baal Korah, is getting an aliyah? Why is he standing up over here? The whole shul is sitting down, except for one guy. What is he, the leader of the services? He's going to announce the pages? Why is he standing up? He's making a spectacle of himself. And I can go on and on with examples where you have a midat chasidut, which is very nice, but when you do it where no one else does it, in other words, as the Mesilas Yesharim says, b'hiyotam ben hamona'am, it looks like yora. So just one more example that I believe is important, and this one people are going to mock me on, but I think it's important. I'm for pluralism, and I really like to daven in a shul. I say this with the bottom of my heart. I love davening in a shul with different kippas and hats and shrimas. That's the shul I'm comfortable in. I'm not so comfortable when everyone looks alike. And I think that's one of the prices we're paying in our community. But I won't go into that now. But let's just say that everyone is wearing no hat, and one guy comes into shul with a hat. One guy. Well, covering your hair for davening, covering your whole head for davening is a definitely beautiful midat chasidut, atifa sarosh, it's a sugya. But definitely, I don't think it's called, I think it's a midat chasidus. You may disagree, say, no, it's halacha. But I believe it's a midas chasidus. So maybe you shouldn't do that when you're in a community where nobody else does it. Because you look like you're making a spectacle out of yourself. You look like so different that people are going to laugh as opposed to respecting what you do. Now again, I personally don't have a problem with that. I like a shul with diversity. And if there's diversity, there's no problem. Because there's a few strimals, a few black hats, a few white kippas, a few small kippas, a few big kippas. But you have to be sensitive to the fact that if in normative halacha we say being a mensch is important, then kol shekein, all the more so when it comes to these midot chasidut, these things that you go above and beyond the letter of the law, you have to be very, very important not to do it in such a way that you make a spectacle of yourself. Yes?
Are you talking about minhagim?
If you take upon yourself, if you take upon yourself a minhag, which is a midat chasidut.
What about Chol of Yisrael?
Chol of Yisrael is not a minhag. It's not a minhag chasidut. Chol of Yisrael is a halacha. It's written in the Gemara. It's written in the Mishnah. It's paskin and Shulchan Aruch. Rav Moshe Feinstein had a huge chiddush that said that you can rely on the company milk because there's governmental supervision. Right. Many of us, in any normative country, I don't think necessarily America, any Western country with government supervision, but not third world countries. But the bottom line is that if a person keeps Chol of Yisrael, you can't say he's keeping a midat chasidut. I believe that he is definitely keeping the halacha. Now, how to keep that halacha within a context of places where there is no Chol of Yisrael, that is a separate discussion. We discussed that in many different places. But I'm saying a midat chasidut is not Chol of Yisrael. An example of midat chasidut is your personal chumrah on various different issues that you do because it's a midat chasidut, not because it's a halacha. Yes, Yossi?
I heard a discussion between two gentlemen in Ranana, and one was telling me, they were arguing about wearing the talis in the street in Ranana. I mean, one was carrying a siddur.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was regarding trusting the eruv.
And there is an eruv.
Either yes or no. You say no, you're boasting. You're saying I give you shabbos, or I have a talis, and you're driving a car, or you're not wearing a talis. Is that a chassidut or just?
Well, it's hard to say. First of all, I want to know if there's an Eruv. Because if there's an Eruv, there's a halachic shaila here. Can you carry your talis? And if it's a good Eruv. Assuming that it's a good Eruv. And the only question is, I want to wear my talis home because it's a minhag yafeh, Shabbos. I wear a talis, an added garment. And you're living in a place where people will look at you and you make a spectacle out of yourself. Then I think the Mesilat Yesharim would indeed apply. I think it would indeed apply. Now, if you're doing it for people to ask you why you're doing it, and this way you can go and outreach, then I think it's a great idea. It's a ploy. But if you're doing it because you have a minas hasidus, and I'm trying to say, you know, being a good Jew before God is important, and taking on personal chumras, we've already said last year, is very critical. But having said all that, let's be honest with ourselves. There's limits, and we just saw the limit, making a spectacle. So, gentlemen, to sum up today, being neighborly is so important that perhaps it overrides a rabbinic prohibition of demai, especially when there's a neder involved. And we ended by saying that being a mensch is so important that for sure it trumps a midat chasidut, going above and beyond the letter of the law.